morning and welcome to Michael Nesko's Renegade Rock here on the Rogue Radio Podcast Network. Every Saturday morning we got the great music for you, and the first Saturday of every month we have great interviews. And today we got a really cool fusion artist. I've been listening to him for quite a while. Let's welcome Travis Larson from the Travis Larson Band. Welcome to Renegade Rock.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you playing good music.
Man, I've just been a fan of you. I've watching your touring all over the States and stuff. It's just a really, really good. I didn't know there was such a big market for the fusion to be touring around.
Well, I think that there's a thing happening in the world where, we all know where commercial music has kind of gone, but I think there's this, there's a niche, you know, there's a niche underground that's sort of people that I believe, and a lot of my friends believe, that people are always going to want to see human beings
play real music.
doing something that not everybody can necessarily do. Right. I mean, you know, my main mentor, Steve Morris, is a guy who's said that for years. And, you know, if you're doing something that you love, then hopefully some other people are going to love it too, just based on the amount of people in the world, right?
Yeah, Dixie Dregs, what a band, huh?
Yeah, well, that's one of my big ones. I was honored on their last reunion tour, which they're just getting ready to fire up again. Everyone thought they were done forever.
Yeah, but I heard his wife was having some problems and he quit the Deep Purple tour, right?
Yeah, he had to stay home and deal with, you know, as we all do, some real big life changes and family health problems. But he's getting ready to go back out with the Dregs, and it's going to be amazing. I got to play with them on their last tour on one of the last shows, which I thought was going to be one of the last shows ever.
How exciting for you, man! How exciting.
Yeah, it was cool because Steve's one of my main influences. You know, I'm kind of, for people that don't know, I'm sort of this blend. You know, we're all an amalgamation of our influences. And my big obvious ones, it's kind of like Steve Morris mixed with Jeff Beck with a little bit of Rush in the
Yeah, well,
in there.
You can't beat that combination.
This is, well, I hope I do my best. It's just what I love, you know.
Hey, so we started off the show with the title track off the first track off your new release is called A New Exhibit. Let's hear about that, the inspiration, and about your new disc.
Yeah, so we did a tour last summer with Travis Larson Band. It was our first one in, I think, since 2019 was the last U.S. tour, because, you know, COVID and everything kind of changed everything for a few years.
Shut everybody down, man.
Yeah, so that was our first real tour getting out and getting to play the new songs. And the new exhibit, if you go on our YouTube channel, there's a great video promo on there. And my partner in crime for decades, bass player Jennifer Young, she's the art director on all that stuff. And she did some really cool stuff. And there's a cool promo video for the album with her kind of explaining the concept and everything. And it's the best thing production wise absolutely we've ever done. Songwriting is up for interpretation, but we definitely did a great job. For at least we're happy with it, you know, as far as the production.
Where did you record it?
Well, this is the irony, my friend. we had a commercial studio for years, and we had, you know, built this place with our engineer in San Luis Obispo, California, and John Anderson from Yes would use it. And there was, you know, some Bela Fleck and the Flecktones had used it for some stuff. And the thing is that with COVID, that studio just, we basically, it wasn't feasible to hang on to it. And so this is the first album we've ever done in my home studio. And ironically, the best production, you know, I think just because we had so much time to really dig in and hone in on things, and we brought in some other people to kind of help on the mastering and engineering side. And we were really, really proud of it. So and the songs, you know, every time you do another record, you're kind of pushing your own boundaries. And so
of course
the the playing on it is really, we're really happy with. But
you guys are really talented players, man. Just super talented.
I appreciate that. But getting out there and trying to do that stuff live was a bit of a challenge. You know, it was a little scary for a while.
So where are you from originally, Travis?
Well, I was born in Southern California, but I've lived on the West Coast, halfway between LA and San Francisco, for most of my life. So not in a city, but I live. San Luis Obispo is kind of the known city for people that know the West Coast. And
I lived in California for 26 years, my friend.
Okay. So I really live on Morro Bay, though.
Yeah, my old bass player lives in Morro Bay.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I probably know him.
Keir Staley. You might know him, yeah.
I the name sure sounds familiar because, you know, I kind of run into and know a lot of the local musicians, obviously. So
I'll have to ask him next time I talk to him.
But yeah, so I've been living, you know, on one side or the other of Morro Bay for my whole life.
Wow.
And it's too beautiful to leave. The thing is, it's not necessarily a music mecca, but it's halfway between LA and San Francisco. So back in the beginning days, we could play those places kind of back-to-back weekends, and it was close enough to kind of like be able to get to either one.
It's a beautiful place, man.
It's amazing. And the weather here is great, but don't tell anybody.
It's too late. You already spilled the beans, man.
Yeah, right. I remember I think it was Oprah Winfrey or somebody did a whole show on it being the happiest place
in
America.
And you're going, oh, no.
Yeah. And I was like, don't tell people about this place. And, you know, a lot of people from Southern California will retire here. So you're kind of either, you know, it's not cheap, but you're kind of either grandfathered in and you're
nothing in California is cheap, man. Jeez.
No, true. So you're either an old surf bum like I am, or you were somebody that actually went out and made money. And
did you ever meet Dick Dale?
Dick Dale. Oh yeah. Played with Dick Dale.
Wow. I got to meet him at Prairie Sun once in Kittatinny. What a cool cat, man.
Yeah, Dick Dale was, you know, he's another guy who's kind of a template for doing what we do, especially on the indie level, like a band that, you know, Steve Morris and Dick Dale, guys like that would make it happen no matter what. And they were a huge inspiration to me and you know, Jennifer Young and Dale Moon, my band, of getting out there and making stuff happen, whether the industry was paying attention to you or not. And Dick Dale was a king of that, really.
I've been a fan forever. It's just great.
Yeah, he used to melt picks. He played so hard and fast.
Yes. So who was the first band or musician that you saw that said you or heard that you said, wow, this is what I want to do in my life?
Well, the first real inspiration for kind of having like a trio that played kind of progressive music was Rush. And Jennifer Young and I, my bass player, co-producer on all the records, her and I went to school together as kids, and so we were both huge Rush heads as kids.
First song I ever heard was Anthem. I was like floored.
Wow. Well, the first song that we ever tried to play together, and we'd only been playing about a year independently, we met each other in school, was Xanadu by Rush.
Wow, that's a hard song to do, man.
Of course, right? If you're a couple of kids in your early teens and you're like, hey, we're going to try and play a song, that's not the song to start trying to play, right? But that just tells you where our heads were. So there was that. And then discovering Steve Morris and the Dregs and that whole thing, that was a huge revelation.
So you were a fusion rock guy right off the bat.
I was. In fact, before I discovered guitar bands like that, when I was even younger, maybe like 9 or 10 years old, you know, I grew up in a generation where I saw Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock playing on the Merv Griffin Show.
Yeah, not to date myself. Those were the days, wasn't it?
Right. So when I saw that,
Ray Gomez.
Yeah, that completely opened my mind to you. OK, this is a whole thing that I'm not aware of. You know, it wasn't what was on the radio. It wasn't the Cars or the Stones.
Total disregard for pop music.
Right. right? And of course, I loved some bands growing up that were just, you know, straight ahead bands. When, you know, before I discovered those guys, I loved stuff like the Stones and the Police and bands that were on the radio.
Right.
But when I started seeing these guys on TV, which you'll never see that again, but back in those days, they would put Chick Corea on a talk show, right?
Yes.
And they would have music and they'd have them play two or three times. And so that was kind of my first thing of, oh, what is this? And then Jeff Beck came along and then the gloves were off. It was like, okay, I want to be able to bend notes. I want to carry my instrument. I don't want to have a piano that I can't carry around.
Are you saying that Les Pauls are too heavy?
Well, no, I'm saying that pianos are too heavy, okay. Keyboards.
Were you a keyboard player?
I started as a keyboard player as a little kid. My parents had me taking piano lessons. And then, I discovered Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock.
You're so talented, man, because you're an awesome guitar player. Jeez.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm a much better guitar player now than I am a keyboard player. Although my current upcoming touring partner would argue that. She thinks she's always telling me, you got to play more keyboards. But it takes me a lot to do that.
So are you guys married? Have you just been together?
I have never been married, actually, but Jennifer Young, my bass player, is my oldest and dearest friend.
Okay.
And, you know, soulmate, partner in crime. She actually, so if you had like a female male version of Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson, we're probably it.
That's
as far
it.
As their
no,
history.
That's cool. And you guys and you share the songwriting, right?
She's involved with the arrangements and the production. So I'm kind of like the guy that comes up with the general ideas and then she'll help me kind of make them better. And she lives down the street from me.
Well, that works out great.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's been the Travis Larson band for however many decades. Since 96, and we put out our first record in 98.
Fantastic. So, well, this is Mike Onesco, and you're listening to Renegade Rock, and we're talking to fusion guitarist and keyboardist and many other instruments, Travis Larson from the Travis Larson Band. We're going to break away, and we're going to do a track called And Then we'll be right back with more Travis Larson. Travis, welcome back. Tell us about that tune, And Then. This is a great record, by the way.
No, thank you. Well, the tune, And Then, is ironic. We were just talking about Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock, because a lot of the stuff that I've done over the years is very reminiscent of, you know, I mentioned Jeff Beck and Steve Morris being influences. And you can, I think you can hear that in my playing, you know, especially when we're younger, the earlier stuff, we kind of wear our influences.
I hear it right off the bat. Totally.
Yeah. But this And Then song was actually a real effort to say, hey, you know, I haven't done anything on a record that's super reminiscent of something that, like, you know, Chick Corea would have done, or Herbie Hancock, or one of those keyboard guys back in the day. So it's a guitar song, but I play, you know, a bunch of Rhodes piano on it, and there's a bunch of quirky changes. It's a very fusion-esque 70s kind of funk fusion song. And that was kind of the very specific idea with that song in particular, was to let's do something that has this like old school 70s fusion-y vibe where we're just completely burning. And there's quirky changes and weirdness, and you don't know where the song's going to go. And it's less of a verse chorus hook kind of song, and more of like the crazy stuff that those guys did when I was growing up. So that song is really all about that.
Fantastic. So what, I mean, how do you get on this circuit where you're touring around, and what kind of venues are you playing? Are they just strictly jazz fusion clubs, or are you playing regular rock clubs, or
mostly regular rock clubs, theaters? It depends on, you know, we did 8 years with a band called The Aristocrats, where we toured together with those guys.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of rock clubs and theaters, and when we're touring on our own, it's usually rock clubs. I'm doing a thing coming up here in March and April of 24, and that is actually going to be.
Yeah, tell us about your gigs.
Yeah, this is going to be like a really intimate run. My best friend, Jen Majura, formerly of a band called Evanescence, if you know, it's funny because in my little world of these kind of progressive rock and fusion guys, we don't always keep up with what's like out there and huge on the radio. But this, I went to see her play last time she was in California, and she was playing the same arena that I had seen Rush at the last time they came through.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, so this is a band that people know. And that's kind of the running joke with us, is like, I didn't know anything about this band and I don't know the songs, but apparently they're very popular.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's crazy, isn't it?
So Jen and I, just the other Jen, my two best friends are named Jen. So it's easy for me to remember. I have a small brain, you know,
but, wait till you get Jen my age, man.
Yeah, so Jen Majura is a credible singer and a guitar player, and like I said, she was in this band Evanescence, and she has solo records out as well, does some instrumental stuff, but is also an incredible singer and very hard rocking but quirky, like me, and writes some interesting cool stuff with multiple time signatures. So it's proggy, but it's also
Who's your drummer?
Well, on this tour, the coming up one, it's going to be very super intimate, just the two of us.
Oh, really? No drums?
Yeah, just the two of us. We're doing some tracks and loops and some acoustic stuff and some vocals and some instrumentals. It's a little bit of everything.
Easy to tour, doesn't it?
It does, and it's going to be a totally eclectic show. There's something for everybody.
Wow, so that's like bare bones, though, for you guys. I mean, but I'm sure you can pull it off.
Totally. And the beauty is that we're going to do a lot of fly dates. So that allows us to fly out and do specific spots of the country where we can do like a night or two in a city that we wouldn't normally get to. And then we can fly to the other side of the country and do the same thing. And, you know, when I went out with my band last year, when we do that, we're getting in the van, and we're getting in the van for 2 to 3 months. And
yeah, that's grueling.
It's the real deal, you know. That's grueling. So this is more of a travel super light. We can go all around the world with it. It's less expensive on overhead. It's like I say, it's a super eclectic show. So that's going to be called An Evening with Jen Majura and Travis Larson.
And that's coming up in March or April.
March and April throughout the U.S. and then later on down the road.
Are you going to be coming to Cleveland?
Not on this run, but potentially later in the summer.
Well, so let me know if you do. I'd like to be there.
Yeah, keep an eye on the dates. We're going to, right now there's dates popping up on our social media. So if you go to Travis Larson Band Facebook page or my Travis Larson Facebook page or Jen Majura's
it'll pages, be there.
Well, yeah, it's all starting to pop up now, and literally we're going to announce all the dates most likely by the end of this week. So it's getting there. I know that this show airs later. But
so when's the last time you played the baked potato, man?
I played the baked potato, I think, in – was it not that long ago, like sometime, like last fall maybe?
Did you go to NAMM this year?
Yes, I just went down to NAMM, and I played there, and I did a couple of all-star jams. I played a lot with my friend Larry Mitchell.
Who's your sponsor?
Oh, well, I've got a lot of companies that I've worked with for years. I've been playing Ernie Ball Music Man guitars for 23 years, something like that. And that's, you know, of course, that one great thing about that was Steve Morris being a huge, huge hero of mine. That put me in a lot of events where I got to spend time with him and got to play with him and things like that.
Were you ever into Alan Holdsworth?
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. I never got a chance to meet him, though, unfortunately. But he's obviously brilliant and incredible.
I met him at NAMM. He was in this booth, and I look over, and it was Alan Holdsworth. And I went up, and I started talking to him. And I asked him about UK, and he was telling me how he hated playing with UK.
You know, the trip about the NAMM show, and just for listeners, the NAMM show is a trade show where basically manufacturers of instruments and music gear bring out artists.
Disneyland
like
for
us.
Musicians.
Yeah, what they're doing is they use artists like us as kind of attractions to help promote their gear, right? So they have a trade show where they have all these booths, and they'll have guys like me go and play a little bit and maybe do some signings and stuff. And then at night around the show after hours,
parties,
all kinds of concerts. Yeah. So it's like a homecoming every year, you know, and I hadn't been back since 2020. And this was the first kind of regularly scheduled NAMM that they had done since then.
They changed the date, didn't they? At one time?
Yeah, they had kind of, they were running it, sort of blending the summer NAMM and the winter NAMM into one middle of the year smaller NAMM for a couple of years when COVID was going on. And so now they're kind of back to normal. And this was my first one back there, but it was great to see everybody. It's great to play. You know, it's always like this free for all. You jump up at somebody's show and jam, and everybody's playing with everybody. So it's a lot of fun.
So how did you end up meeting Randy Ellar?
Randy Aller.
Yeah.
It was like a bowling alley with lips.
Rest in peace, Randy.
I know. I never understood what his jokes meant, but they were hilarious. This guy's like a bowling alley with lips.
Oh, I know. And then once we went on the show, if we didn't insult him, he got insulted.
Oh, yeah. Randy Aller was sort of, you know, it was like Triumph the Insult comic or something. But he was just such a lovely guy. And we played Cleveland a lot when we first started touring past the West Coast, like years ago. And Randy had the Fusion show. And
where'd you play, Nighttown?
He played our stuff. We would go on his show. And like you said, you know, everybody would rip on each other and just have a hilarious time.
A great time, yeah.
And I just got to be closer and closer with him until we were just, you know, we were real friends, like dear friends, and him and his wife. And every time I would come to town, we'd hang out, and then they would come out here, and, you know, we'd see them at the NAMM show. And And so I'm still, you know, we mentioned the other day, I'm still in touch with his wife, but what
yeah,
a great
I just saw
guy.
I have a car detailing business in the day. That's what pays the bills. And I do her car, her mother's car, and Randy's mom's car. I just
gotcha.
Yeah.
They still have the Fusion Show poster up at the Baked Potato, by the way.
Yeah. In fact, down at W, the studio down there, they put up a plaque.
Did they?
Yeah, for Randy with his name on it. It's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Great. I got to try and maybe get back there someday and you know, maybe I can do somebody else's show or something and get to see that. That would be great.
So, Travis, we're running out of time. Why don't you tell our listeners or any upcoming guitarists or musicians that are trying to make it in music or just play music, what are your words of wisdom for everybody?
Well, the biggest word of wisdom is to make the music a priority, because in this day and age, everybody is so caught up with image and social media and all this stuff. And
God
if
bless
you, don't,
my friend. God bless you.
If you don't have the music first, then that stuff's not going to matter in the long run. You might get a moment of people paying attention, but they're not going to stick with you if there's nothing there, right? So pay attention to the music and play with as many people as you can play with if you're just starting out, meaning go out. Don't be afraid to get into open mic nights or play with different musicians and make friends and be brave enough to go out and suck, because nobody's good when they start.
That's
and
right.
We all have,
exactly.
You know, we all have to cut our teeth and we have to get, it's like if you're training to run a race, you got to go out there and sweat and be bad at running before you get good at running. Right.
Exactly,
and it's the same
exactly.
thing. So go out and play and play and play, and don't be afraid to try all the music. I would also say that, you know, that's why I have a band that I do that's so diverse. I love all the music. You know, people ask me, what kind of music do you like? I say, I like good music.
Yes, very good answer. Know? Very good answer.
So like on this tour that I'm doing with Jen Majura coming up, we're going to play some classical guitar. We're going to play some metal. We're going to play some country. We're going to play jazz. I mean, we're playing everything.
Good
and there's
for
gonna
you,
be,
man.
Instrumental and singing and prog and you know, it's because I just love all the music, and there shouldn't be boundaries, and people put too many boundaries out there today, right?
Yeah, so, that's for sure. Well, so, Travis
yeah,
Larson, thank you so much for coming on Renegade Rock. We're going to be featuring your music all the time now, and I really enjoyed talking to you and learning a little more about you, my friend.
Mike, you're the best, brother, and thank you for playing this kind of music out there in the world. It's a great thing, and we appreciate you doing it.
I love fusion. Even though I can't play it, I just love fusion. Okay, Travis, thanks for coming on Renegade Rock. We'll see you.
Take care.